Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our ascended Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a quick show of hands here. Who has seen the musical or the movie called The Sound of Music? Quite a lot of you. It's a very familiar musical, and there's plenty of songs in there that are cherished and memorable. And one of them is the song that has the lyrics, "So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye." In the context of the musical, that song is sung by the young children who are saying goodbye to the guests at their party. And as they are saying goodbye, this is done in a very fun and cheerful manner. But in real life, usually goodbyes are not that enjoyable, are they? When you're a young child and you're at a party and you're having so much fun, and then your parents come and say, "It's time for us to go." As young children, you say, "No, Mom and Dad, just a few more minutes." You don't want to say goodbye. When you graduate from high school or from college, sure, you're excited, but then it dawns on you that you're going to be saying goodbye to people that you may never meet again. Or when you move from one place to another, even though you may not be saying goodbye to people, you could be saying goodbye to a place where you created so many memories that you cherish. Sometimes saying goodbye is sad and it can be very depressing. And from our perspective, Jesus' ascension seems like he's saying, "So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye." His ascension seems depressing because he's no longer physically present with us here on earth. But what did the disciples do when Jesus ascended to heaven? They praised him. They worshiped him. They were glad. And that should be our reaction as well, because Jesus' ascension is good for us. First of all, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he did not leave us. As we heard in the verse of the day, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So even though we may not physically see Jesus, he is always right here with us. He has not left us. And Jesus also promised that before he would ascend into heaven, he would not leave us as orphans. He promised to send the Holy Spirit, and he has delivered on that promise. He has given you the Holy Spirit who created faith in your hearts so that you believe and trust in him. And God sent the Holy Spirit to the Ephesians and brought them to faith to believe and trust in God. And that's why Paul began by writing these words, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Paul thanked God that he had brought the Ephesians to faith, and therefore he offered up prayers to God on their behalf. And here we see one reason why Jesus' ascension is good for us. It's very subtle, but think about that one word, prayer. As Christians, we pray to God, but let me ask you, do we take prayer for granted? We could take prayer for granted because we treat it as a last-ditch effort when there's nothing else to do. We can take prayer for granted because we don't always pray to God as often as we should. We just do it here and there. But ultimately, we may take prayer for granted because we think we deserve this right to pray to God. Do we deserve that right? Think about who we are praying to. We are praying to a God who is majestic and holy. We are praying to a God who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are praying to a God who is far above us in every way imaginable. And we are praying to a God who is just and does not condone sin. Which brings us to us. Who are we to pray to God? We are riddled with sin head to toe. We were born with this sinful nature. We were conceived with it. And by nature, we are objects of God's wrath because we were his enemies. We wanted nothing to do with him, nor did we want to obey him. And we still see that in our lives, that we satisfy the cravings of our sinful nature, that the good we want to do, we don't do it. But the evil we don't want to do, this we keep on doing. What right do we have to pray to God? We don't have any. Because our sins have separated us from God. But that's where Jesus comes in. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he descended from heaven to come to earth to be our great high priest. As our great high priest, he came to save us by becoming one like us and taking on our human nature. As our great high priest, he came to save us by being tempted in every way that we are, yet he was without sin. As our great high priest, he came to save us by sacrificing himself for our sins once and for all. And after Jesus completed our salvation, he ascended into heaven, where he continues to serve as our great high priest. But how does he do that? Scripture tells us when Christ had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. Therefore, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Since Jesus ascended into heaven, he intercedes on our behalf. He defends us before our Father. Because of him, we have the right to approach God with complete confidence, and we do not have to be afraid of him. That's why Jesus ascended into heaven, and his ascension is good for us. But Jesus didn't just ascend into heaven to be our great high priest. He also ascended into heaven to be our prophet. You see that in what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul was not telling the Ephesians that their faith wasn't good enough. He wasn't telling the Ephesians that their faith needed to be stronger so that they could be saved. A faith that is so small and yet simply says, Jesus loves me, this I know, is still faith that saves. But a Christian should never say, Jesus loves me, this I know, and that's all I want to know. As Christians, we should deeply desire to grow in our faith and in our knowledge about God so that we may know him better. But do we? Do we ever have this attitude that when it comes to Scripture, we know it all? Are we ever tempted not to be in church or to read God's Word regularly because, well, I know about Jesus and that he's my Savior? Are there times, even when we do come to church, and the theme of the service or the theme of the sermon deals with a certain topic, and we may think, this doesn't really apply to me, therefore I don't need to pay attention? If we ever feel and act in this way, aren't we going against what God wants for us? Paul prayed that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would grow in our knowledge about God and to understand him better. And if we think we know God so well, just think about how great and glorious and gracious our God really is. When he created the world, he didn't have to make us the crown of his creation, but he did. When God created this world and he preserves it, making sure that his creation works, he does it so that we may enjoy what he created for us. And even when God's creation was ruined by our own sin, God still preserves us. For he gives us our daily bread. He gives us everything that we need for our lives. And since we fell into sin, God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son to be our Savior. And not only did he save us, but he has given us his sacraments, physical, tangible proof of his grace that we can touch, we can taste, we can drink to give us forgiveness of our sins. And when it comes to you personally, when God made you, Scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together in your mother's womb, and he made you unique and special. There's no one on earth like you. For he has given you your own personality, your own talents, your own gifts to use and to enjoy. This is the great power that's beyond our understanding that God uses for us who believe in him. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of who our God is. There is so much more that we can learn about him. And that's why Jesus ascended into heaven. He went to heaven to be our prophet so that he could speak to us through his word or speak through others who share God's word with us so that we may get to know him better. Therefore, let us not stop listening to our prophet thinking that we know it all. But let us always sit down at his feet and to learn from him so that we can know God better. That's why Jesus ascended into heaven, and his ascension is good for us. But Jesus didn't just ascend into heaven to be our great high priest and to be our prophet. He also ascended into heaven so that he could be our king. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. The reason that God used his power to raise Christ from the dead was because Christ had completed God's plan of salvation. As our king here on earth, he already defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. He conquered them. He was victorious over them. And therefore, God ascended Jesus into heaven and sat him down at his right hand of power above all things. But how does Jesus use this absolute power? Now, you may have heard the phrase, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But the absolute power of Christ does not corrupt in any way. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. God placed all things under Jesus' feet. And to really appreciate that picture, I want you to think of a king who defeated another king back in Jesus' day. That defeated king would have to lie down on the ground, and the victorious king would come, place his foot on top of his head to show that I have defeated you. I have conquered you. You will serve me. That's what it means that all things have been placed under Jesus' feet. But notice who is not placed under his feet. You. You're not under his feet because you are a part of his body. That doesn't mean that we don't have to serve him, but Jesus does not treat us as someone that he has defeated. just as someone would use all of their power to protect their own body, so Jesus uses all of his power to protect you. You are a part of his body. He uses his power for the good of his church. Now, can this be hard to believe and fully trust at times? Yeah. Because of the turmoil in our lives or because of the turmoil in the world and the evil that we see, we can sometimes wonder, Jesus, are you really in control? Are you the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are you using your power for the good of your church? And that's where Jesus says to us, be still and know that I am God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. Therefore, believe me when I tell you that in all things I work for the good of those who love me. And even though we may not always understand what God is doing, as Christians who are part of his body, we believe and we trust in him as our King. And one day Jesus will come down with all of his power. He will remove all troubles from our lives. He will take us to heaven and we will rule with him in heaven. That's why Jesus ascended to heaven, so that he could rule over all things for us and for his church. Therefore, Jesus' ascension is good for us. We should not be depressed at his descension as if Jesus said, so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. But rather we rejoice that he ascended to heaven. For if Jesus did not ascend into heaven, then who would intercede for us? Who would speak to us through his words so that we may get to know God better? Who would rule over all things for our good? We wouldn't have anyone. But Jesus ascended into heaven so that he, as our great high priest, can intercede for us and defend us on our behalf so that we can pray to God. He ascended into heaven so that he, as our prophet, can speak to us through his word or to speak through others so that we may grow in our knowledge about God. Jesus ascended to heaven so that he, as our King, could rule over all things for our benefit. Therefore, we sing praises to Jesus. We sing our alleluias to him that he ascended into heaven, because his ascension is good for us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.